Inasmuch as he was clairvoyant, he could easily see the murky grey astral matter which exudes from the hands of the ordinary person, an effluvia of filth so sticky that it will adhere to the etheric structure of another person, even an individual occupying a body of high vibrations. For this reason, Tesla always dreaded shaking hands. He tried to avoid such contacts even at the cost of being thought inconsiderate or impolite. On occasion, when it was absolutely necessary for him to shake hands with certain visitors in his New York office, he escaped at the earliest possible moment to his private washroom, where he thoroughly washed his hands, drying them on a clean towel which was handed to him by his secretary and used only once. He had the deep-set piercing eyes of the initiate, clear blue in color. He also breathed correctly, something an Earth person seldom achieves. This was a natural faculty, for as a small child he discovered that by breathing deeply he was overcome by a feeling of lightness in his body. He felt so weightless that he concluded he would be able to fly if he developed the will to do so. It is said that he did not know he was unusual in this respect while he was still a child. Tesla could leave his body at will when he grew older. He always lived in hotels, and his orders were that he was never to be disturbed in his locked room. Tesla used projected consciousness, as do all initiates, although this is not to be confused with the type of astral projection practiced by the average person. The initiate uses many types of etheric energies freely and in a manner which is always spiritually correct. The ordinary individual does not have the ability to utilize these energies or even to contact them, and therefore easily falls into the dangerous practice of using astral or lower mental forces. This leads to the next step on the left-hand path, the state of transmediumship. When Tesla was a small boy and found that his rhythmic breathing gave him a feeling that he could fly, he quite naturally and normally began to practice levitation. In this is a profound lesson for all of us, and it is the same lesson that Jesus stressed. Jesus warned us that we should not accept appearances, if those appearances might prove limiting to us. We are always imitating that which we see about us. We see people growing old, so we grow old. If everyone thought of growing younger, and youth began to manifest all about us, we would grow younger in appearance as a matter of course. We see people walking, so we walk. Young Nikola saw people walking, but he knew in his heart that it was a cumbersome and laborious method, so he pondered over it and got the feeling that he could fly. Then he followed his own inner feeling, not the example set by appearances all about him. He rose from the earth, levitated, and moved through space freely. It might have startled unsuspecting New Yorkers to see Tesla take off like his companion, the White Dove, and fly over the city. But those who understand levitation and use it can also throw a cloak of invisibility about themselves. People jumped to strange conclusions about what they thought were the eccentricities of a great scientist. Another great one by the name of Jesus walked on water, and the curious are still talking about it today. Tesla well knew that it was the better part of wisdom to remain invisible when he had his feet off the ground, so to speak. Some of his close associates knew that he could levitate and respected the confidence. It might be well to underscore a point here. The person who levitates by using his Christ principle to do so, must have a purpose behind his action, and it must be a purpose which is in some way furthering the divine plan. It is not spiritually permissible to levitate merely as a form of entertainment, for oneself or for others. Levitation is correctly used only if one is definitely going somewhere for a definite reason in the service of humanity. The average individual moves according to his own whim and pleasure, and usually to satisfy some personal objective which is often unnecessary. The average person moves about because of restlessness and an inherent inability to work according to any plan, let alone the divine plan. Page 86. The limitations of walking have offered certain advantages in the past. Transportation was so difficult that people tended to remain quiet as much as possible, or if they did go on a walking journey, they often utilized the time to commune with nature or their fellow men. But the advent of the automobile, bus, plane, and train has introduced a method of transportation which adds only noise, confusion and chaos to the general picture, and which constantly exposes the emotional body to jarring impacts of a most distressing sort. When Nicola was 5 years of age, he designed and installed a water wheel across a mountain brook near his home at Smiljan. He utilized a disc cut from a tree trunk by lumber workers, some small branches, sticks and rocks. The device was a wonderful success from the standpoint of the young inventor. It was a bit crude, but it rotated. He had used the methods of antiquity in designing his model, and it was only much later that he discovered that water wheels have paddles, but his wheel operated without paddles. This water wheel was his first demonstration of a lesson he never forgot. To utilize free energy which was being constantly and freely replaced by nature. Later, perhaps as a direct result of this experiment as a 5-year-old boy, he developed the smooth disc turbine. Later, too, he carried his experiments in utilizing the free energy of nature into the atmosphere, and there he found that electricity in unlimited abundance would give him unlimited power. Free energy that would carry mankind itself to freedom from their great curse of grueling labor. This was Tesla's magnificent concept that dominated his every thought as an inventor. Free energy for a free world. It was the concept that carried him to the heights of cosmic fellowship, and the one mighty flame of inspiration which he set before his disciples as an eternal beacon. Free energy to make and keep the people free. When he was 9 years old, he designed his first motor. It was made from tiny pieces of wood and shaped somewhat like a windmill. But it was not powered by the wind. It was powered by June bugs, flying round and round, trying to detach their feet from the glue which held them fast to their duties. An incident took place at this time which clearly indicated the clean and wholesome trend of Tesla's thinking. He used June bugs because he needed to somehow capture power from the air, although the bugs might have been happier had they not been drafted for this service. But Nicola used bugs just as a plowman would use horses. However, a little companion came in to observe the motor. He spied a reserve supply of June bugs which Nicola had placed in a small jar, and the child grabbed a handful of the bugs and ate them. Nicola was so sickened by the event that he set the remaining bugs free and never again utilized bug power. This was his first direct step toward capturing power from the air without enslavement of animal or human labor. It was also at this time, when he was finishing his elementary studies and entering the gymnasium for more advanced school work, that he first came to grips with his occult power of working in the fourth ether. He had only to think of an object, and it would appear before him, exhibiting the normal appearance of mass, solidity and dimensions. He had discussed this matter in confidence with his mother, for he found the ability to be a nuisance rather than an asset and wished to be rid of it. Whether or not his mother could explain it was never revealed. Now in retrospect it seems that she herself probably possessed the same power and understood it thoroughly. But Nicola was still a child, and his mother agreed with him that he should attempt to banish the visions if he wished. From the occult point of view, this was the correct thing to do, for no adult person should ever try to influence a child or tamper with a child's efforts to come to grips with spiritual realities. This kind of tampering has proved to be the great curse of churchianity and one of the most dangerous of black magic practices. A little later, Nicola confided to his mother that he wished to keep and use the power to envision objects before him, but that he wished to bring it under complete control. Again his mother agreed with him. The power to work in the fourth ether, a physical substance which forms the plane of density just a little finer than gas, is a power possessed in full by every advanced initiate. They also work freely in the third, second and first ethers, which together with the lower four, physical, liquid, gaseous and the fourth ether, form the seven ethers which comprise the entire plane of matter. Scientists have not worked with the ethers because they could not see them, and it is not generally realized that the dense physical plane is only concretized ether. There is nothing mystical about working in the finer ethers. In fact, it is a scientific shortcut. There is actually no reason to dig gold out of the earth and then process it. It is much easier to extract it from the ether and precipitate it onto the physical plane. But in an earlier chapter of this book it was explained that after the laggards came, man lost his power to precipitate matter, for he lost the use of the rays. Today on the inner planes where the lords of karma work, the whole plan for re-embodiment has been changed to bring it into line with needs for the new age civilization. Greater selectivity is practiced and many children are now being born who have the ability to work in the fourth ether as did Nikola Tesla. Therefore, the whole subject is one which should be thoroughly explored by scientists, teachers and parents, if these adults wish to understand new age children and participate in the civilization which they will produce. It has been stated by the spiritual hierarchy that within 300 years the entire race will be telepathic and will possess etheric vision. These are natural human unfoldments following the normal course of evolution which is now being guided on the physical plane once again by the hierarchy. The race is moving forward in evolution in a manner of speaking, but at the same time we are striving to get back to a point at which we stood 19 million years ago. It is that point that each of us must attain during the Aquarian Age. Then from that point each will move forward swiftly toward the ascension and go on to new evolutionary assignments on other stars. At this particular time, it is most essential that the general public become informed about etheric vision and telepathy, for there is much dangerous confusion on the subject. This is planned confusion, engineered down to the last degree by the forces of darkness. Such confusion does not exist in the minds of those who are serving the light. It exists in the minds of the bewildered masses because of their inability to exercise discrimination. They listen to the press, the preachers and the teachers, and swallow whatever happens to appeal to their basic desire nature. Thus do the dark forces brainwash the masses into a lethargic state of docility. The masses follow along like sheep to the slaughter. The powers possessed by Nikola Tesla were in no sense psychic powers. The ability to see into the fourth ether, to mold the etheric substance into machinery as did Tesla, and then to test that etheric machinery and make any necessary adjustments as did Tesla, all of this has nothing whatever to do with the astral plane. The astral plane is man-made. Astral matter is filthy matter. Tesla struck right through the astral plane and had no contact with it. As Arthur H. Matthews has truly stated, when Tesla wanted something he went straight to God. In these dangerous times that advice is the best possible. When we want something we should go straight to God and talk to him about it. Today there are hundreds if not millions of people who have responded to ancient decadent Atlantean vibrations. The reason for this is because certain sections of the submerged continent are to be brought up in the very near future. When Atlantis went down, three cities were sealed. These cities will soon be brought up to the surface of the Atlantic and will be used as exhibits of Atlantean culture. This is one of the projects which is being handled by the Angelic Kingdom under the direction of Saint Germain in his capacity as Lord of Civilization. The response to ancient Atlantean vibrations is a dangerous response. Human beings mistakenly feel that the ability to see into astral matter is a sign of the advanced initiate. An initiate possesses powers which enable him to stand on this earth and yet observe incidents on Venus or Mars. He can also look out over the earth and sweep the entire scene with one glance. He can look through the earth and watch activities within the dense physical globe. Thus it will be realized that the initiate is completely free. He can see above as below. The person with astral vision is a prisoner of his own limited and highly questionable power. If he has the ability to see auras, colors, and so forth, what of it? Usually he uses the power merely to satisfy personal curiosity in exactly the same way that he uses the power of speech to indulge in gossip. When an initiate looks out over the universe, you may be certain that he has some excellent reason for doing so. He may carefully inspect the aura of a disciple in order to determine the corrections needed. He may inspect the aura of a great city to determine the spiritual strength of the populace, but along the way he does not stop to watch a football game or look over the latest bargains in the shopping marts. On the other hand, the person with astral vision is not only subject to normal distractions of physical eyesight, but he is subjected to the constant nervous impact of additional colors, movements and so forth. Peace of mind and serenity of soul do not lie along that route, nor can the voice of the silence be heard within the beating heart of the unlighted ones who amuse themselves with such nonsense. Astral vision is more often a sign of regression than of advancement, for it simply denotes the attainment of certain animal characteristics. It must be remembered that all animals in certain advanced groups, dogs, cats, horses and elephants, have astral vision. Many other animals also possess it, and most animals are telepathic within certain limits. Page 92. In humans, this type of clairvoyance is often associated with solar plexus telepathy, another animal characteristic. Many persons who use solar plexus telepathy are inclined to confuse it with mental telepathy, and those who practice mental telepathy are frequently unaware that the only type of telepathy which can be considered as a spiritual power is from soul to soul, or from ascended master to soul. The soul referred to here is the I Am presence who overshadows us, or the Christ self who abides in the heart flame. Individuals who strive to cultivate their astral abilities, even though they may be born with them, are following an extremely dangerous course, and one which can lead easily from psychism to black magic and from black magic to insanity. If an individual is born with psychic powers, he should either banish them at all costs, or he should take up the proper study which will enable him to serve the forces of light to the limit of his capacity. These astral conditions are karmic, but if properly channeled they can lead to discipleship. If they are not properly channeled they can and will lead only to mediumship and misery. Mediumship is the way of retrogression. Discipleship is the way to the path of truth, light, beauty and unlimited cosmic freedom. Every individual has only one rule to follow, and this is it: place yourself at all times under the full power and protection of your own God presence, your Christ self or soul, for your own higher self is your first and best teacher. There is no need to be running around the Himalayas or elsewhere searching for a guru or master. When you are ready to be of service to the hierarchy, your own master, and he will be an ascended master, will seek you out. Intuitively, of course, not physically. And you will not have to worry about being kept busy in the service of the light. There is plenty to do. It is the soul or Christ self that comes into incarnation, not the physical body or the emotions or the lower concrete mind. The soul builds these lower vehicles for convenience, and in accordance with the pattern of karma carried over from previous embodiments. Therefore, the soul should at all times be permitted to train and use the lower vehicles according to the purpose designated in the divine plan. The part which Nikola Tesla was to play in the divine plan unfolded quickly when he enrolled at the gymnasium at Gospic, a large town to which his father had been assigned as a minister. He discovered that his favorite subject was mathematics. So intense was his devotion to this study that his teachers had to overlook his loathing for freehand drawing. It was thought that Nikola was unhappy about drawing because he was left-handed at that time. Eventually he became ambidextrous, another mark of the initiate. Many years later it was clearly demonstrated that Nikola loathed drawing because he could work in the fourth ether so easily, designing and building his machines in etheric substance, testing them and making necessary adjustments in the ether, and then leaving them on file in the ether. For him, drawing was utterly unrealistic and an unmitigated nuisance. He did not have to make plans and jot down dimension, because of his power of instant recall. After designing a machine in etheric substance, he might have no occasion to think of it again for a period of 5 years or so. Yet when he did need the design, he could call it up instantly before him, complete with exact dimensions. In the school at Gospic, Nikola first came to desire to keep this power which he had possessed since birth, but he also desired to bring it under full control and use it, rather than allow it to use him and enslave him. Nikola had no wish to be submerged in paperwork, even in his school days. A thought which might be of value to many business and government executives today. Nikola found that he did not need to go to the blackboard in the classroom to work out a problem. At the thought of blackboard, it appeared in the ether before him. As the problem was stated, it appeared instantly on the etheric blackboard together with all the symbols and operations required to work out the solution. Each step appeared instantly, and much more rapidly than anyone could possibly work out the problem on paper or slate. Therefore, by the time the whole problem had been stated, Nicola could give the solution immediately. At first his teachers thought he was just an extremely clever boy who had found some method of cheating. However, in a short time they were forced to admit that no deception could possibly be practiced, so they gladly accepted the glamour shed abroad as the rumor got around that the Gospic classroom was graced by a genius. Nicola never bothered to explain about the etheric blackboard, for he intuitively knew that he would be casting pearls. Always through the passing years he guarded his power as the great spiritual treasure he knew it to be. He used the same power to replace all customary memory functions, and he soon discovered that he could learn foreign languages with little of the usual effort. He became proficient in German, French and Italian in those early years, and this opened up to him entire new worlds that remained closed to other students. His father's library contained hundreds of fine books, and by the time Nicola was 11 years old he had read them all. He had little in common with his schoolmates, and, in fact, little in common with his teachers. But they accepted him because he was a lovable lad without a trace of arrogance or pride. But neither did he shroud himself in an exaggerated sense of humility. He was a normal, natural, friendly boy living in a natural, friendly world. On fine summer days he would often wander over the mountains from Gospic to sit again beside the brook at Smiljin, and watch his little water wheel in operation. The wheel he had designed and installed at the age of 5 years. He was constantly working on mechanical devices during the years he was in school at Gospic, but the school offered no courses that could help him. Not even a course in manual training. However, he did bring into focus one decision that foreshadowed the Superman. The school on one occasion arranged an exhibit of models of water wheels. They were not working models, but Nicola could easily envision them in full action. In his home hung a picture which he had often carefully studied. His father explained that it was a picture of Niagara Falls in America. In school, Nicola looked at the model water wheels. At home he gazed again at the picture of Niagara Falls. Filled with prophetic joy he exultantly turned to his father and said, "Someday I am going to America and harness Niagara Falls for power." 30 years later he carried out his plan, exactly as he had predicted it at the age of 10 years. Page 96. Two other experiments which he worked on during these childhood years proved to be starting points for mature inventions. He discovered that air leaking into a vacuum produced a small amount of rotation in a cylinder. This was not the result he had intended, but he accepted it, and many, many years later, it led to his invention of the Tesla turbine, or what is called a powerhouse in a hat, because it broke all records for horsepower developed per pound of weight. The other experiment has not been carried out to its final conclusion, but now that Tesla has shed his physical body, he is working on it from the inner planes. In some form it will be presented as a new age development under the general heading of weather control. While wandering in the mountains one day a thunderstorm broke overhead, and Nicola saw the lightning flash and then saw the rain come down in torrents. He reasoned that the lightning had produced the downpour. Scientists, years later, argued that high up in the air the rain had come first, and the lightning followed. The raindrops fell slowly to earth, while the lightning flash was observed in a fraction of a second. But Tesla somehow knew that if he could produce lightning he could control the weather. He never placed any limits on his thinking, and even while walking over the mountains, through the downpour, he envisioned the day when rain could be produced when and where needed, thus providing an abundant food supply the world round. He never lost this vision, and 30 years later, in the mountains of Colorado, he produced bolts of lightning. He planned to use such bolts in his rain-making device, but was stopped by the United States Patent Office, which refused to go along with his invention. Now it can be readily seen that his invention might have been premature, for both rain and lightning are produced by the activities of the angelic kingdom. The water devas, fire devas and wind devas serve as housekeepers in the atmosphere around the planet. When they wish to wash out a certain section of the atmosphere, they produce as much rain as they need, and shoot bolts of lightning through the skies to counteract poisonous astral accumulations. The amount of rain that happens to fall on the ground depends entirely upon how much scrubbing is being done up yonder. When the scrub pails are emptied, the rain stops. The devas are not charged with duties such as going around with watering pots for the purpose of irrigating gardens. That problem is in the human province. The devas are very responsive and can be called into action by invocation, or when enough water has been sprinkled and floods threaten, they can be stopped by invocation. Human beings should be trained to recognize their own karmic results and do something intelligent about it instead of moaning about the weather. All weather conditions can be under human control. Noah tackled that problem and took the steps necessary to deal with it. Then he sent forth the dove from the ark, and the dove returned with a plucked olive leaf, the symbol of peaceful waters subsiding from the flooded lands. But the dove cannot return unless people first send the dove forth. When Tesla walked through the rainstorm, he was witnessing angelic activities, even though he might not have thought of the matter in quite that way. But he knew that somehow his true work belonged up there in space, high above the mountains of Earth. He knew that all worthwhile works must start at the source. He knew that if he could understand the wonders of flashing lightning and streaming rain, then weather could be mechanically controlled. He was correct, for while weather can be controlled through human invocation to the angels, it can also be controlled by a mechanical device. This will be another scientific revelation of the new age, another proof that the old nonsensical concepts concerning mysticism must go, along with the old concepts about floods and droughts. Nicola had distinguished himself as a scholar at the age of 14. That was in the year of 1870, and his school days at Gospic were over. He was a sensitive lad, highly intuitive, alert to the constancy of angels and the stupidities of men. His strength was actually extraordinary, for he often read and studied the whole night through, attended his classes by day, and completed a vast educational program of his own outside school hours. But because of his extreme sensitivity, his slim build, and his fastidious nature that demanded a degree of cleanliness far beyond the call of duty, his father felt that the boy was in delicate health. His father was determined to protect him, and as it turned out, the protective attitude paid dividends a few years later when Nicola was spared compulsory military duty because his father was convinced that his delicate son would never survive army life. Nicola, in accord with his father's carefully planned arrangements, was forced to hide out in the mountains for more than a year while apparently attempting to recover his health. During this time, his father was able to make certain contacts among the military, so that his son's absence was conveniently overlooked. Nicola himself found military duty a subject so loathsome that he could not even bring himself to think about it. Intuitively, he knew he would never serve in the army, so he made the most of his year of mountain solitude, and returned to his home in good health and with his head filled with scientific plans that, if carried out, probably would have proved earth-shaking in a most literal way. But all this took place when he reached military age. His first serious difficulties started in 1870 when he finished school as Gospic. Because of his sensitive nature, his father felt that he should not continue his studies, but should go directly into the ministry. His scholarship at the age of 14 was sufficiently outstanding to equip him to serve in the church. So far as Nicola was concerned, the church was as bad as the army, and, in fact, worse, for the army was still some distance in the future, but the church was at hand. Moreover, he had already decided on university training in electrical engineering, and was a dedicated disciple anxious to be about his father's business in the cosmos. When an individual of the spiritual stature of Tesla comes into incarnation, nothing is allowed to interfere with the purpose outlined on the inner planes. Plans for the embodiment are carefully arranged in accordance with the divine plan for the whole project under development. Initiates work with a high degree of spiritual efficiency. Certain universal needs are scheduled which must be met within time limits by certain disciples appointed to the task, and all of these plans must dovetail according to a certain predetermined pattern. At this particular point, Nicola had to be saved from a career in the church. The point could not be argued, especially between parents and a 14-year-old boy. Moreover, under law, the free will of the family members had to be permitted full sway. Between the three of them, they had to come to free will decision, but at the same time the decision had to be the correct one.